Oh, you waited for me.
Well, welcome to 2025. So this is episode...
Year.
What episode is this?
This would be, so 52 plus 52.
104.
So this is episode 105.
That math didn't math.
52. We've done 2 full years. So that's 104. This plus, would be the first one of the new year.
So it'd be 105. Plus one. Okay. Plus one. You said 52 plus 52 and then 105.
Did we start in January?
This is plus one.
We started week one of January. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like I've been doing it for 2 years.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sure for you it does.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
I'm sure it does.
So if you're here Sunday morning, you will see something that has not taken place in Element before. We have a woman who is giving a message in a Sunday morning service. And Element still has male elders, but as we read through the scriptures, we believe that most teaching that takes place on a Sunday morning isn't technically, quote unquote, guarding the doctrine, which is the elder's job. We guard the doctrine in the way that we have gone through anybody who gives a message on a Sunday morning. We walk through that and read it to make sure it's scripturally correct. But we believe that there are giftings that God has given to people that can and should be used. And we understand if you are in a place where you have a lot of questions about this, because for me personally, this has been a 4 or 5 year journey to get where we are today. And if you want to come and talk about that, please feel free to contact Mike or I. And we'd be more than willing to sit down and talk with you and walk through your feelings, because they are valid. But we always want to move to a greater place of trusting God's work in the body of Christ and using the gifts that God has given to us in ways that can always grow up and support the body. So with that, we hope you actually listen to what the message says and what God is trying to do through it.
Take it away.
So even though we're in the first week of the year, we're actually continuing in the Carol series, kind of. We'll call this Carol's adjacent, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I'll actually be talking about the traditional Scottish song, Auld Lang Syne.
You know, if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Can that go in there?
Sure.
But that being said, when Aaron calls you and says, so I have this idea, just hang up or run, because that's how this all started. But we're going to be looking at this song that's not inspired by scripture, but it poses an interesting rhetorical question in the first line. It says, should auld acquaintance be forgot? And so I wanted to frame this as an opportunity to look at remembrance and what should be forgotten, what we should be mindful of through a scriptural lens. And that led us into a short but deep dive into the faithfulness of God, looking at some of his demonstrations through his covenants and ultimately culminating in Jesus' sacrifice once and for all as the ultimate demonstration of his faithfulness to us. And so hopefully by looking at remembrance of what God has done, that gives us greater confidence and joy as we go into the unknowns of the future.
I love the word remember in the Old Testament. You know, this Zakar, it's so deep and full. And we do what we typically do from a Western perspective is we translate it through how we think it means, like God forgot something.
Right. Yeah.
And then he remembered it.
Where
did I put that?
I said that?
Yeah, where did I put that, Noah?
Where's that post-it note?
it's like,
I don't remember saying that.
Well, Noah is out in the middle of, you know, this flood, and it says, and God remembered Noah. It's like, so did God's like, okay, I'm off. And he goes and does his thing and he comes back from vacation. Oh, I forgot about right. Noah. I better go back and get that poor guy.
Let's picture God like in a canoe. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm coming.
Dagnabbit. But no, that word means this connotation of doing a favor for, stepping back into somebody's life. Because we would, what's that? Your grace is enough. You know, so remember your people, remember your promise. God is never angry at us for saying, God, remember your people, remember your promise, because it's not that he forgets. It's a way of us speaking back to him what he has said. And that means we're learning what he said and we're almost feasting upon what he has said.
We're counting on it.
And we're counting on it.
Yeah.
And so it grows us. And so this remember in terms of God. That's, you know, one of the, why did Jesus come? Because God remembers his people. It's great.
It's interesting how easy it is to
forget
the things that I want to remember and how easy I remember the things I want to forget.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't it crazy that you can remember that thing that your spouse said to you
some embarrassing
a
moment.
Month ago, yeah. Right? But you can't remember the love that you had for them the day you asked them to marry you mm-hmm. or the day you said I do. We get so caught up in our remembering all the wrong things and not the right things. Mm-hmm. And God remembers the right things.
And forgets the right things.
And forgets the right things. Well, but that's the thing, you know, as far as East is from the West, so far you've removed this. It's not that God doesn't remember that we've sinned, it's that our sins do not count against us.
Right.
They're laid upon Christ. And so there is the remembrance of his mercy in everything that he does.
I think it would be good, though, to remember also, or to, not remember, to consider where I feel like God's forgotten mm-hmm. in my history. Mm-hmm. That could be a good thing to think about. And then reframe that in how God does remember, even when I feel like he's forgotten me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I played the lottery last week.
God forgot to give me my numbers.
I like the way you said it, Michelle. I'm trying to find it. The Lord, in his goodness, does not forget, but in forgiveness, our sin is never brought to mind. That was really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
What are the things that, it's not that we forget because they're part of our past and our lives, but what are the things that we could actively work on not necessarily bringing to mind anymore, that we could begin to set aside? What are those things? That'd be a good question in our GCs, right?
Yep.
Gosh, there's so much.
I know. I think of shame often. I think that's such an easy thing to dominate my headspace.
But that's a large category. What are the incidences of shame? I mean, it's ironic. I could think of something back in the seventh grade where I said something stupid in a class and it's like I just felt shrinkingly small.
So what do you do? So you can think of some things, it's maybe some things from this week or, you know, Christmas where you regret or remembering your failure in it. Because that's what we're talking about, right? Yeah. Your failure, your lack of whatever it is you think you did wrong or how others treated you. But like, so what does it then mean to take that next step of really trying to forget?
Go ahead. No.
I actually have a really recent example. I think it's just 2 days ago, just had a hard conversation with John, just talking about busyness of the season and everything. And he very lovingly, but clearly pointed out that there are times I can get so immersed in something, especially like in the evening after dinner. Okay, finally trying to pay attention to certain things. And he's like, you can check out. And he's like, I can see how sometimes the kids like want you to be present or like I need help. And it is so hard to hear that. But like, I'm so glad he could speak the truth and love to me. And that was one of those things, going back to how to teach your kids about Jesus. Like I went and apologized to them, and it still hurts to think about that like I let them down in that way, but also trusting, okay, I'm not defined by that. And the fact that I get the chance to be made aware and to change and be given grace is such a huge provision. And there's joy in that, even in the midst of the sadness over what happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't think what you asked is necessarily about forgetting. I think it's more setting aside, not obsessing over and not letting that be what you focus on, because we need to learn from our mistakes of your kids. You don't need to obsess about, well, I didn't do this thing. I'm so horrible. It's so bad. You set that aside. Remember that in a way that it doesn't take over everything.
Right.
And this is why this is not a song taken out of the Bible, because the Bible doesn't tell you not to remember things.
Right.
It teaches us to remember what Christ did and remember our lives in light of that.
Right. Exactly.
It'd also possibly be good to have groups consider how they reframe, because you brought that up in the message really well, in Exodus and post-Exodus, that we rewrite God's work in our lives, reframing it differently.
It's the same thing that we do every day in rewriting our stories of what God's done, rather than focusing on the good that he has done and bringing us out of those situations and places. Mm-hmm. Zakarit.
Experiencing, like you said, the joy that comes in confession and repentance. Mm-hmm. So I think that's so missed so often. We have remorse, we feel bad, we feel guilty, but that's not the end and should not be the end.
That's not the full picture of what it is.
The picture of redemption and the gospel is that we should be thrilled that the Holy Spirit was faithful to reveal and show us where we fall short or where we sin, and that that doesn't get laid on my account anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What joy that should bring. You know, this doesn't identify me. This does not put me into purgatory. This does not put me in a closet with God. You know, I'm experiencing his reconciliation all the time.
Yeah. I think another hope of mine through this too, in exploring lament, I really love Sandy Richter's like 5 points that maybe it would help people understand the Psalms more fully in a way where they're more relatable to them, because throughout the ages, we all have things worth lamenting. And I think having a framework for that can be really helpful.
You mean the proper way to remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really hope that this sermon inspires a lot of reflection, not just in the events maybe of the previous year, but ultimately how God has been faithful. And again, that doesn't mean the circumstances were necessarily rosy or enjoyable, but even in the midst of that, how God's character is one that is unchanging and can be counted on over and over again. And maybe it would open up discussion too about the fears or anticipations we have of the new year. A lot of people set goals or resolutions for themselves, but I
don't.
I do. Okay, let the record show, Aaron and Mike do not. No. Hopefully this will inspire confidence as we go into the unknowns, just remembering that God goes before us and he's always proven himself trustworthy.
Old acquaintance be forgotten.